Hello, this is Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, our guest is Mike White, owner of Boo Boo's, San Luis Obispo's only independent record store, new record store. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Brian.
Record and tape stores, I think the very name record stores gives people the idea of an older technology. Tell us a little bit about the history of Boo Boo's, where it came about, some of the people that were involved in its early days.
Well, first of all, there is another independent record store in San Luis Obispo. We aren't the only one, but
right. The best one.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we like to think. Boo Boo Records started out in 1974 in what is now right across the street from Sally Lou's in the train area, the train station area. And I came up here to go to school at the same time. So we kind of paralleled the timeline there. I didn't start working for them until 1978. But I was a regular at the store for those 4 years. And when they moved downtown in 78 to the current location, that's when I came on board.
What motivated you to do that? Was it a love of music or an idea that you wanted to be in retail?
I think it was the love of music. I was probably there 3 days a week as a customer, and it just seemed like a really great place to want to work. And they'd asked me to work for several times before that, in the years before that, and I was finally kind of in a place where I was ready to get on the other side of the counter and start working.
Now, the audience can't see your T-shirt, which is a sort of pumpkin orange Boo Boo Records T-shirt with a rooster crowing on the front. And we know that the origin of the word Boo Boo is lost in the mists of time. But there is a raison d'etre for the chicken and the rooster. What was that?
I think the rooster came about when Ed Taylor and Glenn Forbes are the two original owners. They opened it. They were selling records out of the back of their station wagon. School teacher for Ed in Pasadena came up here. Anyway, they were living, at least one of them was on the Napomo Mesa on a bit of a farm situation. And I think there were a lot of chickens out there, roosters.
Mm-hmm.
And when they opened their store, they became known as the home of the Cosmic Chicken.
Cosmic chicken.
The Cosmic Chicken has endured.
Yeah, so it's not just any old chicken. It's a Cosmic Chicken.
No, exactly.
Your background, your history, what brought you to San Luis Obispo? What got you into the music business?
I came up to San Luis Obispo to go to school. I came to Cal Poly, graduated, and the music business was never in my sights at all. I was in the ornamental horticulture department there, and I was going to start a career in landscape design. But after working at Boo Boo's it had been a couple years that I was in school and working at the store, that I just realized that this is something I love to do. And the retail aspect of it, I love the music aspect of it. I was way into music to begin with. I had an older brother that would bring the new Beatles albums home, the Dylan, Waylon Jennings, the Stones, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash. I got this incredible enrichment growing up. So that really became realized when I started working at Boo Boo's.
Now, your official capacity there would have been as an employee and then a co-owner and now sole owner?
Exactly. Yeah. Clerk, manager, part owner, and now sole owner.
That's a big responsibility, I think, given the state of independent businesses and music in general. And does that keep you up at night at all?
Yes, it does at times. Different periods are different. Yeah, definitely sleepless nights. There was the economic downturn there. 08, 09 was definitely a scary time for a lot of businesses.
And, I worked for government just about my whole life and a little bit in retail. But I always felt that people who sold things retail, whether you're going door to door with brushes and cosmetics or selling shirts, that you really put your life on the line, your reputation on the line. You tried to see into the future, the tea leaves, if you will, to anticipate what fashions would be popular, what trends in music would be popular, who might have a wardrobe malfunction, yeah. you know, at the Super Bowl. It's sort of a gambler's game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And more so now than ever. Over the years when I was in the 80s and 90s, it was kind of a slam dunk. You know, you kind of knew what bands were going to sell, and the buying was less risky, and the industry and the whole music business was on fire. You couldn't really go wrong. You just had to have this tremendous customer service philosophy
right.
that made up for any – if you were out of something, you could just order it for them, a special order. But nowadays, it's a little bit different. It's a different product mix in the stores, and we do have to – it's a little more guesswork on our part what people are going to want to buy beyond the music.
I heard once – I was talking to a friend who's a local – owns a motel locally in San Luis Obispo, and I asked how he got his customers, and he said, well, he really didn't know, but he had to concentrate on getting them to come back that second time, and probably customer service, ambiance. Those are important things.
Absolutely. Yeah, getting the customer to come back in is crucial. Customer service is really the most important part of the equation, I think.
A little later on in the show, we'll talk about the elephant or the gorilla in the room, which has to be the Internet. But I'd like to start that conversation in an oblique way and talk about independent businesses and their importance to the community. I think everybody appreciates and often patronizes a mom-and-pop business. They don't probably know how hard mom-and-pop work to be there behind the counter or at the grill so that the customer can get that personal service. But when you're dealing with an independent business that serves not the body but the soul, it's a different kind of contribution. And in many ways, I think even more important, I think of certainly the public library and different libraries, but bookstores and independent music stores, they're not too common these days. Talk to me about the independent business and how you see that in the community.
Well, San Luis Obispo is blessed with a tremendous amount of good, solid, independent businesses. And I don't think people should necessarily shop at the independent store just because it's independent. I think that independent store has to give it a reason to come in. And so it is, besides the fact that for every dollar spent at an independent store, as opposed to a store that with a corporate headquarters based outside the area, it's tremendous how much more of that dollar stays in the local business. And
multiplies.
It multiplies. And we have a tremendous support from our community. And in turn, we make a lot of donations. We're a tremendous community outreach on our part. Love doing that. But you're right that I think there's a responsibility as well, particularly when you're talking about books and music. These are products for the soul, the mind and the soul. And it's a responsibility to be there and to continue to have that.
You know, that nurturing of the soul goes back to for those of you who haven't listened to the show too much, I was a librarian, mostly a public librarian, for 40 years, and we decided that our main purpose, our existence, was to help people be better human beings, and a big part of that was learning how to be better human beings by learning the skills that make that happen, reading and writing, understanding the value of different media such as the Internet versus books versus experts. But more than that, trying to stay ahead of the societal curve a little bit, not just having the latest bestseller, but having information or expertise on the trends that are about to happen, that might be happening next month or 6 months from now. And I'm guessing that to be up to date with musical trends, you have to look into your crystal ball a little bit as well as an independent owner of a music store, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You have to rely on your resources. And for me, my resources include my employees. And there's no way I can understand everything that's going out there or have my fingers on the pulse of everything. So I've got a tremendous staff that keeps me posted, and they play an integral part in what we buy and in any kind of forecasting we do.
A lot of them have been there a long time.
They have been there a long time. I'm very lucky. Yeah, 10, 15, 20 years in some cases.
Right. I mean, I go in there, and sometimes I'll say, I need to see Fred, or I need to see Malik, or I need to see Neil, and for whatever, you know, need it might be. And it's very comforting to know that if they're not in right then, you know, your name and phone number will get to them soon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pretty pretty straight line.
You mentioned a minute or so ago about making donations, being involved with the community. You don't have to go to a corporate boardroom in Kansas City for permission, do you?
No. We can make that decision on the spot. That's the purity of it.
What about changes in musical tastes? Say, in my era, when I was growing up, I often ask people, what year did you graduate from high school? And they'll tell me, and that sort of helps me in a simplistic way understand the era that they became a young adult and the music they enjoyed. For example, I graduated in 68, and musically, that was a pretty amazing time. You still had the remnants of the surf music, the Beach Boys. You had psychedelia from San Francisco. You had the British invasion still going strong. All kinds of things happening, and I'm not sure you have that kind of ferment today. But how have you seen that change, say, over the past 20 years?
In terms of what people are buying, or
right,
in terms
what's
of
popular?
What's, yeah, it has shifted a little bit, but I think it's still all the genres are represented. I mean, we sell across the board everything. Now, if you were looking at stuff that sold when I was in high school, or when someone in the 80s was in high school, or a kid now that's in high school, what they're buying, they seem to be a little more at the forefront of the what's now and what's shifting. And they're across the board. I mean, you hear you're selling them a lot of hip-hop, but by the same token, there's a bunch of like independent folk rock bands, and there's a lot of melding of styles of bluegrass and jazz, and they're really buying everything. So it's hard to put a finger on one certain style.
Eclectic or broad
based. It's very eclectic, yeah.
I think is a great value in that, and the young people knowing what's out there. And sometimes it's not that easy to know. I subscribe to a popular online service which doesn't have much information about the album or the group. It's an aggregator. A lot of times I yearn to know more about that session or a particular player on a cut, and that's not available. When I hear independent music sometimes on independent radio, a lot of times the aggregators don't have those people on there, and you're lucky if you can find a YouTube of that. But I would imagine between your customers and the store, you probably stay ahead of the curve a little bit.
Absolutely. Our customers are another great resource. They come in looking for stuff that we don't have. We either special order it for them or we get it, and they kind of hip us up into something that's – and plus, back in the day, radio played a big part of what got – what became popular and what was put out there. And I think even today, although the radio business relationship with record stores and other advertisers has changed as far as co-op and things, there's still like KCPX or – certain other stations around here, that's still kind of a precious medium.
Yeah, I remember back in the late 60s, you might tune into a rock station. They might play a whole half of an album, you know, a record album, and do it. The Caribbean is an area I like quite a bit, the salsa and the calypso and all those things. And on one of the trips I made to one of those Caribbean islands, the local people, black fishermen, their favorite music was country.
Oh, wow.
And it blew me away. I mean, I thought it might be reggae or something else, but it just shows you the ferment going on. What about formats? I mean, we've gone from Edison's cylinders to 78s to 33s, and vinyl has had a resurgence, which I never particularly would have predicted. But tell me about the selection of formats, maybe what you like best, what you see happening down the road.
Well, everything started out for us in the 60s with the vinyl. Well, previous to that, of course, but for me personally, vinyl was the main medium. And then, of course, you had the 8-tracks and the cassettes came along. And then when the CD hit, the digital era, if you will, it kind of spelled the demise of the vinyl, so people thought. And vinyl almost disappeared. And the really funny thing is it's come full circle. And as you mentioned, it's a tremendous renaissance of vinyl you buy any new music that comes out, it comes out on vinyl as well now.
And that's a decision the bands are making or their production companies are making, I wonder.
Well, the industry as a whole has embraced vinyl again. Certain bands have a louder voice in that.
Some people might not know, but the analog recording experience is one thing. Some people, they love it and disdain digital, and the exact reverse is true for people who love digital, but no one can argue that they're different quality. One is sampling, one is a continuous wave.
Right.
The other thing about vinyl is that it's about the only medium that doesn't deteriorate. Assuming you take care of your needle and don't get too much peanut butter on the grooves, it'll last virtually forever, whereas CDs, optical media, will oxidize and rust. The little magnetic bits on a tape will get demagnetized.
Yeah.
Vinyl endures.
Yeah, it's staying power physically and culturally.
This is a bit Brian Reynolds, a volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library for Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, we're discussing music and independent music stores with Mike White, owner of Boo Boo's Records, independent music store in San Luis Obispo. Let's talk about the internet, that great beast, that great, I don't know if it's a leveler, innovator, but it's almost as though it takes you by the scruff of the neck and you have to go along. How has the internet and people's use of the internet affected your business?
Well, the internet's a broad term. It, you know, there's aspects of the internet that are absolutely incredible and amazingly useful, of course, obviously, as a sort of resource. If you're talking about online buying, definitely it has steered the industry. We have we've embraced it ourselves. We have been a seller on Amazon for many years, and we understand that people, the choices that are out there are profound, and as long as we're part of the equation, meaning come in and get a CD from us or some vinyl or a book or whatever we have to sell, hit us up. Our prices are going to be oftentimes equal or less. You don't just assume that, you know, we're the internet's cheaper. But yeah, the internet's been a game changer for sure.
One thing that I can't get away from with the internet is there's a lot of choices for sure. I would argue way too many choices for hours in the day that you have to fool around. But in that storm of information, how does a customer get connected with Boo Boo's? How do they know you're there? How do they know what you have to sell? Amazon probably contracts with thousands of vendors. How do you make that connection with a customer in such a large, diverse environment?
Through our internet store, you
mean?
Well, we have positioned ourselves on Amazon as one of the top three sellers. We have 100% feedback. So if you're going to look something up, we're going to fall on the first page. And we can also – we have a – there's a tab there where you can go directly to our store, our online, what's available on Amazon. But by and large, somebody in France or Tokyo or in Iowa – they're just going to be looking for a particular record, and we're going to come up as a seller that has it. So our approval rating definitely helps, because if 50 people have that record on Amazon, why are they going to pick it from us? So people will pick the
– customer service.
Customer service is what that reflects.
So they're locating you in the content online, but the actual content is a physical format, like a CD or vinyl or whatever.
Right, right. And you have to approach your online store the same way you approach your physical store, your brick-and-mortar store, in that it's not this faceless environment. You have a one-on-one with the customer, and we have email transactions with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's some back and forth. One of the things I liked about the days of vinyl was that you could get a lot of verbiage on an album cover. You know, reviews, stories, photographs, different things. And when you went to CDs, it was the font got a lot smaller.
Right.
And then when you go online, like I mentioned with some of the online aggregators, it's non-existent, basically.
I think that's one of the things that particularly kids, and by kids I mean, you know, high school up to college age, that only listen to music on their devices have discovered vinyl and have realized that there's a whole ceremony around putting the needle on the groove, looking at the album cover, looking at the liner notes, and they really have embraced that.
Right, and it could be something they could do together or with friends.
Yeah.
I know one of my sons has a I forget the exact name, but it's a turntable that burns from vinyl to CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're out
so
there.
You've been able to adapt. What are some of the products and services that you offer above and beyond physical musical items?
As far as different product mixes away from music that we carry
right,
now?
Right, what your store does. And yeah. I mean, for example, I know you sell concert tickets and different things.
We're the major ticket outlet in San Luis Obispo for shows. And we also have gotten into apparel over the last few years and quite a few books now. A lot of gifty items. You know, I think CDs are maybe 50% of our business, 45% of our business. And, you know, vinyl might be 20%. The rest is non-music stuff that has some cultural or iconic value to people.
Imagine you have to have somebody watch that inventory like a hawk because it's got to move.
Right. Definitely. It's got to earn its keep out on the floor.
Right. Tell me about the value you see of your staff, especially the long-term staff. I mean, they must have a level of institutional knowledge that is profound.
So profound. I'm so lucky. And the my staff is the most important part of the business, I think. And they're the people in the trenches. They're interfacing with the people. I don't get out on the floor as much as I used to or as much as I'd like to. Just somebody like, you know, Fred Friedman, who, you know, the pride of KCBX. We get him, and I mean, what a world wealth of knowledge that guy has. And, you know, and we get Neil Losey and Malik and Frank and Ryan and Todd. And, you know, it goes on forever. And there's, each guy brings this tremendous breadth of musical knowledge.
Yeah, and it's personalized too. If you listen to the Morning Cup, whether it's Neil or Fred or anybody else, it all has its own flavor. Because they have their own flavor
they
and their own interests.
Yeah, and a really cool thing is we have the original owner, Ed Taylor. I've got him there Tuesdays and Thursdays, twice a week, sometimes more, to work on the vinyl. He's a buyer. And,
interesting.
And there's a tremendous amount of knowledge, decades right there.
My oldest son is back with us and with his family, and he was quite active in the singing scene and the jazz choirs, Voce et Questa. And I remember him singing a particular tune, James Moody's Mood for Love, in your store years ago.
And Nathaniel?
Yes.
Well, he worked
Nathaniel,
for me
yeah,
for
he did,
a
he
certain
did
amount
work
of time,
for you.
Too.
And it was a very, very special moment for me to hear that. And I have the music, actually, the sheet music for that, so I'm trying to convince him to sing along with that. Speaking of Fred Friedman, my acquaintance with him and my friendship with him brought me and the library – in the community, a huge amount of knowledge when he would do workshops on different eras of music,
right.
Like jazz or blues.
Yeah, those
and
were great.
Always packed, always well received. And there wasn't, I mean, you could spring a name or an era or a trend on him, and he would not be flustered or flummoxed ever.
Very lucky to have him on board for sure.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought a retired, I think, chemistry professor?
Engineering.
Was it engineering?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mechanical engineering.
Also, from the days of our local county library, there was a time when we made extra efforts to buy all we could from Boo Boo's, especially if people still remember those, the proper box sets. Proper box might be Cajun music or accordion jazz or Delta blues, but they were marvelously put together and engineered sets, and I was very proud to work with you locally and to have that.
Four CD sets.
For
like $25.
Yeah, I still have a bunch of them in my collection at home. What do you see about the future of the store, the future of music, concerts? I mean, I read somewhere where, for example, new bands, their revenue streams, a lot of it used to, if they're big enough, it would come from the record company and royalties on albums sold. But then it changed to concerts and
merchandise.
Fees that are paid, you know, different things. That's changed quite a bit. How do you see that going?
Yeah, it's changed tremendously. The record companies aren't paying the huge contracts and the huge advances. And there's kind of a little trend right now. The new Wilco album, they gave it away free for – It's going to come out as a physical item in a few weeks, but they gave it away free, and they're trying to draw people to their shows and to their music in that respect. Live shows is really where the bands are making some money, and they're selling their merchandise.
If I were to ask you, and this is the question that's been on my mind, because back in the day I was quite a Grateful Dead fan, and I know they have done some farewell shows with Trey Anastasio from Phish doing the Jerry Garcia role. And I, realistically, I'd give my eye teeth to be at one of those concerts, and I just couldn't do it. How would a person like me find the video or get their hands on some of that music?
Good question. I haven't seen anything on that yet. They just did their last show in Chicago.
Right. And Soldier Field, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll come out on as a DVD or Blu-ray at some point. But some bands were actually handing out a CD of the show that you just went to as you left. Here's the show you just heard.
Oh, my gosh.
For free CD. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're not doing that, but that was a unique way to –
In the daily dollar short department, about a month ago, I read that another one of my all-time favorites, Neil Young, was playing at a local bistro, and it was announced, let's say, at 4 p.m., and he's going to be on the stage at 7, and the lucky few who heard about it were there until there was no more room. But
I was one of those people.
Were you?
Yeah.
Was that a good show?
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I was right in the front, hands on the stage, front row, and it was just a powerhouse.
Nathaniel and my son and I were talking about, I saw them, I saw as many live bands as I could back in the 60s, and I saw them at the Rainbow Ballroom in Fresno with Buffalo Springfield, that iteration, and Neil Young had a sort of a leather jacket on with the long little strips hanging down off the sleeve.
And
you have to think of him as a bona fide superstar, enduring over the years, being controversial over the years, being a social activist as well as a musician, and whether it's the hard rock or the folk, it's anyways.
He's royalty.
He's absolutely
royalty.
And a nice
royalty.
Guy. Appears to be a nice guy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he can be a little quirky. He'll speak his mind. And he has changed. Yeah. He's been a bit of a chameleon with his styles. But
I heard that his latest album is named for a certain agricultural chemical company.
Yes, it is.
So
several pointed songs on
there. Yeah, I don't know what that means, so... What are some of the challenges as we wind up here that you see that you need to confront and be proactive about?
Well, we just want to continue to it's the same challenges, I think. Just the cost of running a small business. For me, from the business end of it, there's constantly new fees or costs associated with it. But just continuing to get people to see us as a relevant store. And finding stuff out there that people will enjoy and find a reason to come in and buy.
Yeah, it seems to me a big part of the business would be to get people off the sidewalk and into the store and experiencing that thing, face-to-face person. When I was a little kid, we would used to go to San Francisco. We called it the city. And often we'd stay in North Beach, and I would wind up in City Lights Bookstore, which is iconic as well, and in terms of the Beat Generation and the kind of literature they had, and certainly I think of Boo Boo's is that kind of a. Did you have another store at one time?
We had a store in Grover Beach, mm-hmm. Grover City at the time, mm-hmm. or Groover City, as
Groover
we
City.
Like to call it, with a Boo Boo near UU. And that we closed that store in 2008, and we kind of circled the wagons, and San Luis Obispo was the flagship store that we put on. We actually had a store in the Laguna Shopping Center for 5 years.
Interesting.
And, so now it's our 40th anniversary. It's last December 15th.
Wow. So what is your proudest achievement, let's say, one or two proudest achievements with the store?
That is a good question. I've never really thought about that. I think just continuing to we kind of pulled it out of the fire there. John Huffman was my last partner, and I've been on my own for the last 5 years. And I think just continuing to grow the business in a very sometimes hostile musical environment with the way our industry operates, I think I'm most proud of that.
I wondered why some of my own musings, why art, which is such a nurturing influence for the soul, is inhabited by so many barracudas, and the only thing I've ever come up with is the money. that art generates, besides the good things, generates a lot of money. And where you have money, you have some of the lower echelons who drift in.
Yeah, they drift in, and they're in it for the wrong reasons.
Right, right. But still, they're there.
Yeah, they are.
Well, Mike, this has been a real pleasure. I've learned a lot, and encourage everybody to visit an independent business, especially an independent music store. It's part of who we are as a community. This has been Brian Reynolds, volunteer with the San Luis Obispo County Library, for Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. Today, our guest has been Mike White, owner of Boo Boo Records in San Luis Obispo. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Brian.